got to do is go to wccowboychurch.org, and starting on the 17th, is that right, guys, of December, we're going to be going live, and you're going to be able to see this live instead of delayed. And so I'm pretty excited that that God is building and growing us, where when you travel, not a problem, about 10:30, get on your iPhone and get on wccowboychurch.org, and you'll be able to see the whole service. And we're working out a few things, like the balance of the music. I listened to some of me and Ricky. I told him to send it to Ricky as well. And you know, you hear the guitar real loud, and you don't hear the drums. And then so we were trying to work on getting it balanced, and that's just part of growing. Amen. Real excited about that, though. So again, go check out the new website. Denise has done such a wonderful job of lots of labor to get that new website, wccowboychurch.org. And go check it out, you guys. Eventually, we'll have a WCCC app that you can get on your phone, and you'll be able to get to the website immediately. But again, every Sunday morning, starting December 17th, as soon as I get back from the national finals, we're going live and to the glory of God. Amen? I'm going to do something different. So everybody received some bread and some juice. I ministered one time, because we do juice. It's the same. It's just doesn't have to be wine. And it's not bad that, I guess it is wine. It's just, I used to minister, and a lady, has anybody ever seen that movie, 8 Seconds? It's a cowboy movie and a bull rider movie. As a man named Lane Frost got killed. Well, his wife at that time was named Kelly. Now it's Kelly Macy, who married a rancher friend of mine in Post, Texas, big ranch. And Kelly and Mike Macy, as Jamie and I was getting married, came and wanted us to come to their, or they asked us if we wanted to come to their house and invite a few people and some ministers and take communion over our marriage. And I said, absolutely. I love that. And so we did that, and the bread was just awesome. I wanted more of it because I was hungry. And when it came time to drink the juice, I drank it. Son of a gun, it was real wine. So I was like, give me another one. Take this 2 or 3 times. Y'all know that's not right, right? I don't like that stuff. But we use a piece of bread and we use juice so that it can remind us of what Jesus did for us. But I don't want to go through the, and he broke it and said, do this in remembrance of me. I want to actually go to a verse that is just a little bit past 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 24 through 27, and actually read to you 28, because here's what the word says in 28 of 1 Corinthians 11. But let a man or a woman examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. Now, why would the Lord say, I want you to examine yourself before you eat of this bread and drink of this juice or representing the blood? And I just began to do a little study about that word examine. And let me tell you what it means, because it's a Greek word that literally means to examine closely. And that's what we're doing right now to ourselves. We're examining ourselves in whatever area. It also means to scrutinize or Judge Stout would understand this, or to judge judicially and see if you're guilty in whatever area. And if one's guilty of anger, then change. If one's guilty of not operating in love, then change. If one's guilty in some areas of our life, then that's a great time to change. Because see, that's really what God's trying to tell all us believers is, before you take communion, examine yourself, man. And here's the greatest thing about God. When you ask God to forgive you for some areas that you might have failed him in, he is so gracious that not only does he forgive you, he forgets it. Amen. Say amen. Come on. Because see, I needed him to forget a lot of stuff I did in college. Anybody out there? Amen. But he don't even remember it anymore. That's the God that we serve. And that's why taking the bread, which represents his broken body, and drinking the juice, which represents his blood that was shed for us, it gives us redemption, forgiveness, all the sanctification, all the great things that Jesus did for you and I. And that is what we're remembering this morning. No disease or sickness shall come near our body. And when you take this bread, that's what you're reminded of. Doctor might say cancer is in my body, but I forbid it in Jesus' name. Because by his stripes I'm healed. That's what Jesus did for me. So when you eat it and drink it, do it in remembrance of him. Go ahead. Thank you, Lord. Father, thank you. Thank you that we remember the broken body. We're remembering that the blood covers. It covers us. And we need that covering today. We need that grace and mercy and forgiveness. And Father, thank you for dying for us, but more than that, for being alive now. Raised from the dead, seated at the right hand of the Father. Glory be to God. And we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Give God some praise. He's worthy. Amen. All right, let's get these up real fast and then we'll dismiss kids. Kiddos ready? Thank you, Lord. Amen. Glory be to God. Just pass it and bring it down and bring it to the end or whatever. Well, with a big round of applause, I want to dismiss the youth group and kids' church. We love you. Come on, give it to them. Ooh, Jesus, thank you, Lord. My wife and two kids are in Sweetwater today and yesterday. I got in last night as they're at a big calf roping that they had to qualify for, and it's a world champion. I think Cody O has won the world about six times in the calf roping, and they're at that. London roped really good yesterday. She won a go-around and won placed in a big go-around. Made the short round in a couple of those ropings, and Seth had a little harder time. He didn't rope too good in the first roping, but then figured it out. And then hopefully today he's got his confidence back. And so my family wishes they were here, but they're doing what that parenting job is, and they're tending to those kiddos, which is sad to know that rodeo is kind of on the weekend and away from church, but that's why we bring church to them. Amen. They had a service this morning. A friend of mine ministered, Carter Edmondson, this morning about 7:30. And so I was kind of glad I was still sleeping right then. I told them years ago, they asked me to start doing a church service at a team roping. It was big, and it was called the Bud Light Team Roping Association. I said, hey, you know, I'm not going to drink Bud Light while I preach, but I'm going to preach at the Bud Light roping. 6:30 in the morning. How many were there? Sometimes it was just me and another guy. But by the end of the service, there was always a whole bunch of people giving their lives to Jesus. And in the early years, it didn't matter. Man, if it was 6:30 or if it was 5 or whenever it was an honor to be able to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you, even though a lot of times no one was there, the Spirit of God was there. Amen? And so, thank God, I've been graduated. So, how's that look? All right. Everybody have a Bible? Let me see your Bible. You want to start this broadcast? You ready? Or has it already started? It's already started? Hi. Give everybody a round of applause anyway. Welcome. I got to talking, man. And I always want to lead the salvation plan. Just keep recording, man. I mean, a lot of people are going to get saved, especially starting on December the 17th. In your Bible, I want you to turn to the book of Colossians, chapter 3. A couple of chapters over from our offering message. Colossians chapter 3. Now, last week, I started a message, not a series, but it just didn't, you know, I wasn't able to finish it last week, but I want to continue to minister this week, and simply entitled, What Does God Think About You? What does God think about me? Why don't you say that? What does God, say it, what does God think about me? Because you have to know what God thinks about you. And a whole lot of people really don't know. I've heard everything in the ministry. I've heard, well, he's mad at me because of this. Who's ever heard that? Be honest. God, I hope God's not mad at me. I mean, I heard that all growing up. You better watch out. God will humble you. Who's ever heard that before or maybe said it, you know? Because we say a lot of things that we hear, but we need to make sure that it's really what the Word of God says. It's just my luck, you know, those kind of things. I mean, just from talking to the people out, they don't have much faith in what God thinks about them. You know why? Well, because they did some bad things back when. Maybe you did some things that got you in big trouble with the law. Maybe you've done things that are hidden, but yet they're not hidden to God, so really just the same. But what happens is then the enemy begins to bombard our minds about all the bad things we did in our past. And then that's how we identify ourselves, by those things. But I'm here to tell you in Jesus' name, that is not how God sees you. And last week, we really talked about a few things that Colossians, really, chapter 3, started teaching us. And it's in verse 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect, and we talked about that word elect a lot. And you got to know you're the elect of God. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness and of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Forgive them. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfection. Well, last week I talked about elect, and then I talked about when God says put on as the elect, holy, and we got to talk about that. But then it says, and this word called beloved. And I want to dissect that word beloved, because listen to me, you have to know what God thinks about you. Because what God thinks about you can get you out of a lot of jams. The battle, obviously, as we know, is in the mind, right? Because if the enemy can get you to think a bad thought, then he has you what the word calls captive. The word, though, since you're the elect of God, the promises of God are for you. They're yes and amen. Thank God for that. As the elect of God, you have a way of escaping a trial, a tribulation, a bad time that might have been sown. You have a way of escaping it. And matter of fact, as a child of the Most High God, you have the authority to use the name that's above every name, Jesus. Man, that's good. Because at his name, the Bible says to a believer that every demon has to flee. That's the name of Jesus. Man, what a powerful name. And you have the right as a son and a daughter of God to use that name. Matter of fact, God has given you the authority to do everything in the name of Jesus. Everything. When you rope, do it in the name of Jesus. When you're a husband, do it in the name of Jesus. A wife and so on. Everything you do. And that's the authority that we have as a believer. Because if we're captive in some area of our thought life, then that's usually what one meditates on and can get us off of the understanding of who we are in Christ Jesus, and then get us to thinking in a perverted way that God might not dislike us too much. What does God think about you? And I'm here to tell you, as the elect, man, God sees you as the highly favored one, praise God. Man, he sees you as the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. He sees you as the elect, the chosen one. Glory be to God. You were chosen by God if you're born again. You're chosen by him. And that means something to us believers. I, individually, was chosen by God. The devil, on the other hand, is going to say, yeah, but you're not worthy. You ain't no good. You've made too many mistakes, boy. And it's time that you start learning who you are in Christ Jesus and begin to know what God thinks about you, because when you do, that's when you can declare to the devil that you are bought by the blood of Jesus, and all those sins that might have been committed back when are forgiven and in the sea of forgetfulness. Glory be to God. Amen. You don't have to live by that old junk any longer. That's why the Bible says forget those things that are behind you and press forward on forward to the call of Christ Jesus. What does God think about you? So let's talk about this word beloved. Beloved. It's a word called agapeo, or from that word agape love. It's agape love is God's kind of love. In other words, this word, when he says put on holy and beloved, we've got to find out what this word beloved actually means. And here's what it means in the Greek: that he loves us in the past, in the present, and in the future. Let me ask you a question real fast, because we've got to dissect this word, beloved, and find out how it refers to you and I. So let me ask you this question. Were there ever moments in your life, because it happens to me constantly now, but has there ever been moments in your life where you felt overwhelmed by God's forgiveness? Let me see your hand. I mean, just a sensation of the peace of God. You know, the minute I said, God, forgive me, when I was in college running from God for 2 years, ministry was in my dorm room before, dad and mom, pastors, ministering to churches, traveling the country from about 1984 as a family, and then my dad was a pastor since 1970. But 2 years walking away from God, the very minute I said, God, forgive me, I was in my dorm room. I remember the enemy tried to not release me. I mean, he tried his hardest. No! I don't want to lose this one, because he knew what I would do, which was be what I am today, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Man, he had this hold on me. He didn't want to let me go, but then I remember when I said, Jesus. I haven't told it but one time in this church. When I said, God, forgive me, after those 2 years of the party being at my house, and I got on my knees. And actually, I wasn't even on my knees. I was laying on my back, and the Spirit of God just began to convict me. Not condemnation and not guilt. I began to get convicted. Come on, son. Come on, son. Come on. You're better than this. And the minute I said, God, forgive me, I know better. I'm telling you, that devil, he knew that I was fixing to sense the peace of God. And I'm telling you, I felt my body lift off of that bed. I never felt that ever. I never had that happen to me ever. I now understand that, man, the enemy, he did not want to release me to the power and the Spirit of God Almighty of forgiveness. And I felt my body just, and it physically probably didn't happen, but I just felt it like, and I remember it paralyzed me where I couldn't move. The enemy just had such a hold on me. And all I could get out, because I knew the Word of God, it had been engrafted on the inside of me, man, is all I knew to do is say Jesus. But I couldn't open my mouth. It wasn't like I could say Jesus. Under my breath, and it was like my teeth were clamped shut, I said Jesus. And about the second time I said Jesus, it's like I was released. And then I felt the presence of God, man. I mean, the forgiveness, the tears rolling down my face of shame. I felt that sense of peace. Man, it came all over me. So the question really, has there ever been a moment when you felt overwhelmed by God's forgiveness, His acceptance, and His tender care for you? In Psalms chapter 36 and verse 7, if you just want to write it down or go there, Psalms chapter 36 and 7, David said, how priceless is your unfailing love. You see, I'm trying to get us to understand what God thinks about us, because He doesn't see us as we see ourselves a lot of times. He sees us just through that beloved, agape love. He has so much compassion and is so tender-hearted towards us, you see. And I'm telling you, once we get a hold as believers, what God really thinks about us, I'm telling you, there's no devil in hell that then can get us into depression. No, not another day in our life, man. That's when joy can come and the peace of God that maybe passes understanding. But we desperately need these messages today, because too many people do not think highly of themselves. I'm too fat. I'm too skinny. I'm not tall enough. I'm too short. Why did God make me the way I am? I saw London taking a picture. I said, what are you taking a picture of? She said, my nose. She said, there's a little bump right here, Dad, because in volleyball, she got hit there, and there's just a little bump. And I could see what was happening in her mind. I said, no, baby. It doesn't matter if there's a bump all over you. You are made in the image of God Almighty, and you are beautiful in His sight, and you're beautiful in my sight. And don't you let any devil in hell try to get your self-esteem down. No, you are well-beloved, praise God. But listen, you've got to put on that. You've got to put on that holy and beloved. But again, what is beloved? David wrote about unfailing love 70 times in the book of Psalms, constantly talking about love, because God loves us. He loves you with an everlasting, unfailing love. Man, I need that in my life. I need it to know that when I'm trying to parent, or I'm trying to be a husband, or I'm trying to minister to those rodeo cowboys, or I'm trying to be a pastor in this church, I need unfailing love. Because I'm here to tell you, if you knew what I know, and if you've been through the things that I've been through dealing with people like you, if you aren't called to do it, you'll commit suicide. Don't just think you can go, come do what I do. Boy, you better have the right attitude, and your heart better be in it, or you'll be the one that's quitting. No, there's no devil that can run me off. I just want to understand beloved. I want to know God's love for me so that He can position me to know what to do and how to teach you to work the ministry, as Ephesians chapter 4 talks about. Doing the work of the ministry and the knowledge of the Son of God to come into a perfection, man. And that's what we all need today. But man, the devil's, man, he's got us all messed up. You know, my life's just ruined, and look what I've done to my life, and look how old I am, and look what I've got. And all he's trying to do is get us convinced that this is the way it is in our life, and it can't get any better. Or the enemy's trying to condemn us so much that we can't get up and move on. You see. Glory be to God. I wrote down, you may have done things they were not appropriate for a child of God to do, but nonetheless, you're still His child. Even if you fail, God loves you, and His love for you will not fail. Thank God. His love is steadfast. It's unchanging towards His sons and His daughters. That word agape, you know, that this word agapeo comes from, what does it really mean, you see? Because Paul used it here in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 12, I believe, to reveal really what God thinks about us. Because agape refers to what I call high-level love. I mean, there's no higher love than God's love. No finer love. A more excellent love. I mean, there's nothing more excellent than God's love for you and I. Agape love, I believe it occurs when an individual sees or recognizes or understands or even appreciates the value. This is what, when you study it out, this is really what agape love means, that shows us what God thinks about us. This word agape, it literally wants us to value an object or a person, causing the viewer to behold this object or this person in great esteem. Now think about it. This is what God thinks about all of us, honestly. This is really what he thinks about it, but you've got to believe it. Because his love thinks of you in awe. Come on, man. Most people go, I just can't see that. How does God awe over me? Man, he created you in his image and his likeness. I wrote down that he admires us. He has admiration. He wonders about us. He has sincere, I believe, appreciation of you and I. Most people, again, think of themselves negatively. You'll never, ever, ever hear me talk bad about me. Let me ask, have any of you heard me talk bad about me? Well, I just ain't no good. I just can't do it. No. You may see me get frustrated when I'm trying to overcome something, but you'll hear me say, nope, I can do all things through Christ, which gives me strength. I'm a conqueror. I can do it because God loves me. No, I can do it. I will not fail. I'll live and not die in Jesus' name. This love came all over me last night. And I just begin to worship God. I was at home and even driving from Sweetwater yesterday. It was about 6 o'clock when I left. And I mean, just this sensation of his love for me. And of course, I don't know. I'm not a crier. I think it was because of my dad. My dad, in his later years, became very, very tended, would cry. But not in the early years. I mean, in the early years, we as cowboys. You don't cry, boy. You break your leg, you got another one. You get hit by a train, get up, let's go. Yeah, but Dad, I can't move. It doesn't matter. I'll drag you, boy. Don't you cry. Finally, when I was going through that heartbreak in my life and just out of my first year of college, and man, I had to go back to the ranch in Fort Stockton, and man, it was so tough for me because I was hurt, and my dad looks at me. This is the tender part that finally started coming out in him, and he goes, hey, you know what you need? I said, what, Dad? He said, well, number one, it's okay to cry. I'm telling you, as soon as he said it, I started crying. I didn't care who was there, how big of a tough boy I was. I let it roll, man. He said, it's okay to cry. And then he looked at me, and this is what changed my life, and I pray to God that you get what I'm trying to tell you right now. He looked at me and he said, you know what you need? I said, what, sir? He said, you need to get an I don't give a crud attitude. And I said, sir? He said, it's not that we don't care. It's that we don't care to where it allows us to get into depression and get into the state that I was in. And so a lot of times when things don't go the greatest or when someone leaves offended, I will say, I don't care. Not that I don't care about them, because I may call them and love on them and tell them how much they're loved and forgive me if we did anything wrong as a church. But I'm not going to care to where I take on their burden, because that is not our job, to take on someone else's burden. You know whose job it is? Jesus. He said, cast all your cares on me. I've overcome the world. I can handle them. And he defeated every single one of them. So as a pastor, when I counsel people and do it a lot, I don't take on their burden. And a lot of pastors do. A lot of pastors will get depressed right there with them. No, someone's got to stay out of depression and get them out of depression. That's why God loves us so much, y'all. Agape in the New Testament its best example is John 3:16, and most of you know that. For God so loved. That word loved right there is very powerful. Because he so loved us that he gave a part of himself called his son, so that whosoever believes on that son would not perish. That's the love. Because he didn't have to have that love. Not when they were beating his son. He could have said, how dare them Sadducees and Pharisees. Look at them torturing my son. And I sent my son so that they could have redemption and forgiveness. And look at them. They're spitting on him. As he carried that cross down Golgotha, all of them were constantly saying, Steve, Jesus, you can put your name in there. Try to get yourself out of this. Can your Jesus really do it? And they were just simply upset at him for saying that he was the Son of God. He had already healed the blind eyes of Bartimaeus. He'd already raised Lazarus from the dead. He healed everybody that believed for their healing. Not one did he say, I'm sorry, I can't do it for you. I can see the Father saying, wow, why did I send my son? Let them all die. He didn't know. No, he said, nah. Jesus himself said, Father, why hast thou forsaken me? The same doubt that you and I go through every day, Jesus had it being 100% man. Jesus finally declares, Father, it's not my will, but it's thy will be done. You see, all because God loves us, now we're called the elect. We can put on holy and beloved. Agape love is how much God really loves us. And you would dare think that he's mad at you? Mm-mm. God's not mad at you. He sent a way of escaping out of all your stuff. You know, most of the time you ought to just look in the mirror, because that's who the problem is. Not God. Me. Corey Ross. And then I can just come out, snap out of it because of the Word of God and understand that the human race was so precious to God that he loved man so deeply that his heart was so stirred to reach out and do something to save him, for God so loved the world. In other words, God's love drove him to action. He loves us so much. So, as I close, when you read Colossians chapter 3 and verse 12, read it with a deeper revelation regarding what God thinks about you. Because, man, he loves you. I wrote down four things real fast. That number one, God has personally chosen you. He chose you. Man, he loves you so much. I mean, he loves you. Doesn't he?
I'm getting excited.
I know it. I'm excited too. Let's get excited together. Give her that Bible. Come on, stand up. Let's do what they do. Let's hug and jump.
Yes.
Right?
In a circle.
That's in a circle. Come on. Come on, y'all. Y'all want to join us or not? I mean, God loves you, brother. And I'm not talking a broke back mountain love, a perverted, devilly love. I will. I'll ask for forgiveness later. You understand? I'm talking about God loves you. Man, God loves you guys. Doesn't matter what you've been through, he loves you. He's got so much love for us. Matter of fact, he's got so much love that he personally chose you. Number two, he has separated us. This is love. He separated us from sin. Thank God. Thank God sin doesn't have any dominion over us believers. Number three, he respects you as the dwelling place of his spirit. Say amen to that.
Amen.
He respects you so much that the Spirit of God, when you say, Jesus, come into my life, resides on the inside of you, and he calls it the temple of the Holy Ghost. And then finally, he loves you so much that his thoughts are continually turned towards you, causing awe, admiration, and wonder. That's what God thinks about you. Man, Steve, he loves you. Golly. Man, Bob, he loves you, brother. It doesn't matter what you've done. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. Because you're his chosen. He chose y'all back there. He chose y'all. Y'all too. He chose you. He calls y'all the beloved. Both of y'all. Put you, Doris, in the midst of those two. He loves you. Why? Because you're beloved. Here's the thing, and I'll close right here. You've got to put on beloved. You've got to know God loves you. God loves me. Matter of fact, I'm his favorite. You should be saying the same thing, though. No, I'm his favorite. I don't mind having an argument. I mean, I see some of you, no, you're not. Really, that's how we should be. And I'm not talking prideful where we're really arguing. No, I'm his favorite, sucker, and cause us a fight. No, but we're his favorite. Why? We're chosen. So the next time the devil tries to get you down, bring up your past, bring guilt and condemnation to you, you tell him that you're holy and beloved. Because the Word of God says you are, and it is yes, and it is amen, and I believe it, and I do not doubt it, in Jesus' name. Now give God a hand clap. Amen? All right. Thank you, Lord. Come on, just shout and say something like amen. Hallelujah, Lord. I mean, how many of you is raised Baptist real fast? Let me see your hand. I think you ought to be the one to shout louder. I mean, because I couldn't do it growing up. Amen. Hallelujah. I mean, I'm telling you, it said a Baptist free to make an Episcopalian shout. Yes, finally getting freed. Amen. I'm not ashamed. Thank you, Lord, that I don't have to die and go to hell, sir. Not just a little old Southern Baptist, man. I got pinched under the arm for getting a little rowdy in church. Never understood that. But if I wasn't so afraid of my mama, I wanted to just scream one time. Ow! My mom pinched me! But I would have died early. I would have died. Has anybody ever been there? Mom, why you're trying to shut me up that way? How many's not saved in here? Because if you're not, you've got to give your life to Jesus Christ. I mean, why would you dare wait? If you're born again, though, God loves you. I mean, he thinks highly of you. In awe, respect. Start believing that. Every head bowed and every eye closed, please. Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord, for everything that you're doing here at Cowboy Church. Again, I thank you, Lord, for causing this church to fill up with new people. It's time to break through that 300 or 400. And Father, I thank you, Lord, for filling this place up with the love of people and the love that we can share with them. And Father, thank you, Lord, that every curse is broken against this church. But Father, You know our hearts. You know our mission. You know our vision, because you're the one that gave it to us. And I thank you, Lord, that you would cause people to come to get saved, healed, delivered, and set free to your glory, sir, in Jesus' name. We receive this message, Lord. And it's time we put on holy, because we're the elect. We put on beloved, because you love us. That's how you see us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I would never, ever leave a service without giving someone an opportunity to receive Jesus. Do you know him? If you died and left this earth, do you know what would happen to you? Because the Bible says that we're all going to stand before God. But you need to know what God's going to say when you stand before him individually. Your friends and family will not be with you. You're going to be standing there in awe of God Almighty. If you gave your life to Jesus Christ while you was here on this earth, that's Romans 10 and 9, saying out of your mouth, Jesus, come into my life and be my Lord and save me. I believe that God raised him from the dead, Jesus. If you've declared that and you've given your life to Jesus while you're here on this earth, when you stand before God, he'll say, well done, come on into heaven. I don't want him to say the other thing, though, that he has to say to people that rejected him while they was here on this earth. That's why he called preachers like me to pastor and go travel this country and tell people about his son, Jesus, so that they wouldn't go to a place called hell. Because that's what would happen to you if you didn't receive Jesus and then you died and you stood before God. He would have to say, depart from me. I don't want him to do that, y'all. So I want you to give your life to Jesus Christ. How do you do that? You ask him to come into your life. You confess it with your mouth and believe it in your heart that Jesus is Lord and he was raised from the dead. So what we're going to do here this morning is we're going to pray that prayer. All the believers that are born again, Jesus is the Lord of your life. I want you to pray it with me. But if you're here this morning and you don't know if you would go to heaven or hell if you died, I want you to ask Jesus to come into your life right now so that you can go to heaven. But greater than that, I mean, that's pretty great, right? Going to heaven when you die. But guess what? You can have heaven here on this earth. You can have joy and peace, someone to cast cares on. You can have that here. So you don't have to wait for heaven to have all the good stuff. You can get it right now, right here, by asking Jesus to come into your life. So let's pray that prayer, would you? Pray it and mean it. If you're here this morning and Jesus is not the Lord of your life, pray this prayer with all of us. Ready? Ask him to come in. Let's pray it like this. Say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart. And I confess that Jesus Christ is my Lord. Come into my life, Jesus, and save me. Forgive me of my sins. I want to go to heaven and not hell. But I want heaven here. I need you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. With no one looking around, and you just prayed that prayer for the very first time, and you gave your life to Jesus. When I count to three, I just want you to raise your hand up and say, that was me. I'm not going to bring you down here. I want you right where you're sitting. If you just prayed that prayer and you gave your life to Jesus this morning, when I say three, I want you to stick your hand up and say, God, I meant that prayer. I gave my life to Jesus this morning. And then just put your hand right back down. Would you do that? Ready? With boldness in Jesus' name. One, two, three, go. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. Anybody else? Thank you. Thank you so much. Just no one looking around, just real fast. I saw your hands. I'm going to have someone come bring you a Bible. Just give them a couple of Bibles and Bible there. Thank you. Now, is there anybody else? Look at me, y'all. Thank God that there's always usually people that give their life to Jesus here. Amen? Thank God for that. I mean, I think that's why our church is so blessed, because it has fruit. You ever been to a church that's dead? Don't raise your hand, because then we'll have to ask you where, and you know, that's embarrassing. Thank God this one's not, but it could be if we allowed it to be. But I refuse to have another dead church service. I grew up in them, not another day. Amen? Before we're dismissed, by the way, you people that raised your hand, honored to have you. If you raised your hand, gave your life to Jesus, inside that Bible is just a card. It just helps us. Man, we want you to do whatever it takes to learn who you are in Christ Jesus. Please come to church. If you don't feel comfortable here, find a good Bible-believing church. I think this is a pretty good one, though, don't y'all? So, y'all that visited, honored to have you, all the visitors here. And again, if you live around here and you don't have a church home, I pray that you would make this one your church home. Amen? Just a couple of announcements before we're dismissed.